Hello, Math. You alright, mate?
Yep, just still waking up a little bit, but I'll be there.
Get your hands on Elysium Men book?
I never actually got my hands on the book, but I did just literally spend yesterday I spent like 4 hours on the Elysium Men forum, which is the best I could do from work. So
well,
I got a big gist of what the changes to everything that used to be in the book is, but I don't know much about the new stuff in the book. Like, I don't know about the big new Stegalodon-looking monster thingy.
Well, we can do a rough breakdown. I don't want to go into too much detail.
Yeah, yeah.
I know how they feel about on the forum about actually revealing state secrets.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I figured as well. So
yeah, I mean, loading some files up. I just had to give it a minute to save the last conversation because I thought I'd actually lost the entire thing. So I was a bit like, no, but it needs to compile after you've saved this. So it gives you that minute to have an heart attack, it seems. I got the new book on Saturday morning. I read it then. I went, that's good, that's shit, that's good, that's shit. That'll never get used.
And that's generally what they're saying over on these forums. It's like Temple Guard got dropped 2 points. Temple Guard looked like they got better, but they're saying Saris now have to pursue at all times. That just sounds...
They have to pursue when beating someone in combat.
Right.
It's not the handicap. See, I actually wrote a list and played 2 games today. You know, it took like 3.5 hours a game because it was like, what does this do? What does that do? And, yeah, it was.
But essentially, they all have frenzy.
No, not really. It's Primal Fighter or whatever it's called. You roll a dice for the front rank for your attack. So on a 6, you get an extra attack.
Gotcha.
So, but it doesn't account to supporting attacks. So it's limited. I mean, for every round of combat I did, it got me like 1 or 2 extra attacks, which was okay. I mean, I don't disc on...
Yeah, take what you can get.
But the notion, this rumor that it's just going to ruin everything because you've got to chase enemies and you've got to run them down, it was rubbish in my experience today because they fought to the death against hard units. I charged a unit of 7 trolls in the second game with 30 Saurus. 7 survived, at which point the 7 broke, but they took out half a unit trolls. So,
gotcha.
Are they good? That's subjective.
I could see problems with redirectors being all over the place, though. Like, I mean, just think of, like, you got a 30 to 40 man unit of Saurus, and...
Yeah, yeah.
And you stick a rat dart in front of it and just say, hey, look at that side of the table, please.
Yeah, but they've got a lot of light arms fire as well as the new thing, so...
That's true, and according to this, the ballistic skill went up on skinks, though their leadership went down, which will probably not matter at all with Blizzardman leadership. I'm assuming that's still the same.
Well, let's just start from the fresh, shall we? So, the new Lizardmen, they've got high lore, as we expected.
Yeah.
They've got a load of disciplines. Overall... They're all good, but they're not as good as they used to be. There's no free discipline. So you've got to buy him. He comes in at 300 points in his underwear. but he's still solid. I mean, if you read some of the special rules, if you read Contemplation, he can never lose spells.
Right.
If you roll 12 on miscast... He loses 3 levels.
He doesn't lose them.
He'll lose the levels, but he doesn't lose the spells.
Interesting.
He loses them.
And very useful.
He loses them, but then they're instantly regenerated. So if he doesn't know all the spell deck, you re-roll them.
So this is a guy that would definitely like an Earthing Rod at all times, because he doesn't even have to worry about the... What is it, the 10 through 12? Yeah, 10 through 12 result. He can just only have to worry about 1 through 4.
One of the cheapest disciplines, which lets you adjust your miscast by a 1.
That would also do it.
I rolled... What did I roll on one of the miscasts? It was a Big Daddy pie plate thing.
I adjusted it,
I think. I adjusted it from a 4 to a 5.
Yeah, and a 5 is what? Small pie plate, strength 10.
Yeah, but it saves you, see it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't kill you.
Yeah, because that was just going to be horrendous.
All you care about is not falling into the hole.
Yeah. So, he's pretty well balanced. A lot of the disciplines do what they did before, but slight moderation changes.
Like, cupped hands is still kind of sort of there.
Cupped hands is gone, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what did cupped hands do before?
Cupped hands was whenever you miscast, you roll a die and then transfer it to your opponent.
No, that's gone.
Yeah, that was like the super dirty one.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're all pretty balanced now.
Is the one that forces your opponent to, if they roll a 6 for magic casting, that doesn't count.
No, that's gone.
Oh, wow, okay, so in my opinion, they've been nerfed, at least.
They've been nerfed compared to what they were.
Right.
But I think as wizards, they are still probably the best wizards.
Right. They'll still be super awesome wizards, but they won't be shutting down my entire magic phase as opposed to just having an awesome magic phase on their side.
They might, because while they've done things like that, there's a thing to re-roll a failed dispel attempt. You re-roll all the dice.
Ah, okay.
So that's pretty awesome. They've got Cube of Darkness still, but it works slightly differently, but it can effectively just... It can end that spell, and it can end every other spell in play.
Gotcha.
So there is that particular nasty aspect.
They have some solutions, but they don't have... I mean, the big thing that I'm happy about is hearing that they don't shut down sixes means that Irresistible Force comes back into play, and that was kind of something that... I mean, within 24 inches of the Slan, no sixes meant that if you wanted to even target the Slan's unit, you couldn't as Skaven, because we don't have spells with... Yeah, it just never happened.
Well, I could have understood them leaving that in and dropping it to 12, because you can now only ever have one Slan, because you're not going to take him in his pants.
Yeah, I was going to say, it definitely sounds like they went up in points a lot. Well, once you count in the fact that you don't get a free discipline, they went up in points.
Yeah, his base cost... It is now half your Lord allocation, basically. So you've then got to buy him stuff. But some of the stuff, it's all pretty solid. Unlike a lot of the other books, where I look at it and think, that's just rubbish.
Oh, yeah. There's always some rubbish stuff, but for the most part, it does look like this book did what needed to be done, which is try to get every internal balance was done well.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have a unit that is the equivalent of Skaven Night Runners that never gets touched.
yeah, definitely.
So, at least as far as I can tell.
Where the magic items are concerned, I suppose the big question of Skaven is the Blade of Realities, which is still in.
Yeah, the super duper, I want to insta-kill the bell. Yeah.
It doesn't insta-kill the bell no more.
Oh? Well, nope. That's good.
It is no saves of any kind can be taken, including ward saves.
Okay. So, it hurts, but it's still...
The guy
still...
with the Blade of Realities can cause an handful of wounds, basically.
He's going to really hurt the bell, but he's still only going to have X amount of attacks, and he's not going to just touch it and it dies. So.
Yeah. Well, if you go for the Blade of Realities, he's probably just going to go straight for your Seer, isn't he?
Well, he'll go for the Seer first, and then over the next two turns, he'll take out the bell and actually get the points. So.
Yeah. But it'll take him longer than it did before, so it is effectively a nerf.
Yes, but that's still not that bad. I would not call that a horrendous nerf, because what was the previous Blade of Realities? It was like...
Take a leadership test.
Right, and if you failed, you died, right, instantaneously.
And the bell technically had no leadership.
No leadership, and they FAQ'd it in that favor, which was dumb, but... Anyway, but yeah, so that was really bad for us, but really good for other teams, like, say, you know, Chaos Warriors, high leadership, any high leadership army, or, you know, unit with standard of discipline. Great, I take a leadership test to die. Well, I'm leadership 10 rerollable, so I'm good.
Yeah.
But now this is much better. So I'd call it like a half and half. It's not going to insta-kill the Bell anymore or anything like that, that has no leadership, but it's now not going to be useless against things that have, you know, really other characters that you actually want to take the sword against.
Oh, definitely. Like Warriors of Chaos, the Tzeentch dude with a free up rerollable ward save.
Yep, you're not going to be like,
your non-existent ward save. Slap, you're dead, you know. Soros is just going to go, get out of my way, fool.
Who said anything about other tricksters, Shard? We don't need one of those.
We are leaving tricks. We like to just smash face.
Yes, that definitely sounds good.
So, I'll just mention a couple of things. I did a list not long ago back for testing for tournaments, and it was a Mage Priest kitted out, Skink Priest, two Scar Vets on Cav, three units of Skirmishers, three units of Skinks, three units of Camo Skinks, two units of Pterodons, Salamanders, and Razordons.
So pretty much kind of sort of the standard oldie list.
It is the point and fire, the poison death.
Yeah.
I called it. So I got that saved. That was 2,400 points, bang on.
Gotcha.
In adjusted points in the new book, with a fully kitted out slan and the adjusted Scar Veterans, it is now 2,595 points. So they have gone against poison. They've done a couple of things to knock it quite significantly, I think. The first and foremost being dropping Skink leadership slightly.
Yeah, leadership 5, even with 3 dice, is still kind of... I'm not quite sure what the odds are on it. I want to say that leadership 5 is literally the equivalent of leadership 7 with 2 dice.
Well, you can say that, but theoretically, I know a lot of people have said it's you should roll a 3, a 4, and a 5, so you still fail.
Right, but that's the problem. That's why I think it may or may be worse. I don't know. I don't know the odds with that one. Once you get 3 dice in there, my dice averages go to hell, but...
Yeah. Well, I played 2 games today.
It's definitely a very low leadership, and it's going to be hard to hit.
I think it's slightly worse than that because you don't really realize it till you play the game. But it's not just hits in that sense. Initially, you'd got quite easy access to musicians for rallying,
right? And
leadership 6 anyway. Now that's simply not the case. Now you can only take cohorts can have musicians, but they're 10 points. So that's a massive hit.
Right.
The actual skirmishers can't have musicians at all now.
Oh.
So
we are talking
5 across the board regardless.
Right. And the best you can hope for is to be within the BSB bubble, but even that's not going to help you that much.
Well,
and you're not going to be doing that if you're using them the way that they're going to need to be used to be effective, which is...
Yeah, you see, this is where it comes in, isn't it? It's So I had 2 games today, and I got to admit, when they broke... It was hard to rally them.
Yeah.
I think I've rallied 2 units. But it was very hit and miss. I think leadership 5, it takes them down the peg that they needed to take them down. You're not no longer going to go, I'm going to march.
Spam.
Just go flee. Because if you flee, the chances are one of those units.
One of them is not going to turn around again.
Unless they're going straight towards a general.
Well, that's good. We don't need... While dirty tactics are well approved of, in my opinion, in tournaments, at the same time, I would like to see less of them and more of just the scram and beatdown and enjoyable killing of things. Mm. I find it's more fun than sometimes doing these really cheesy look inside the rules to find things.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
I know. we've had our discussions.
With some of the things. The good thing you'll like to know is that the Abomey is still going to die quite horrendously, because there's a lot of fire in this book.
Oh?
Yep. But yeah, we'll get to that. Your Temple Guard and your Saurus Warrior, they've both come down slightly.
That's good.
I still don't think you're going to take your Saurus Warrior. There's no way you're going to go max Warrior heavy. Unless you decide to go like Law of Light.
Oh, the last... Unless they've changed other than the they have to pursue. The last tournament... the last big tournament I went to, the guy who came in second was Lizardman, 3 gigantic 50-man blocks of Saurus, and that was it. And one... And, of course, a whatchamacallit, Slan buffing them all up with life.
Life?
That was the entire army. Yes, life. As astounding as that sounds. He pretty much just sat there and dwellers'd everything and then charged in on the remains. Yeah, like, yeah. It was a really boring list, and it was very hard to beat, because 50 Saurus are amazingly tough to take down when they're all toughness 6 due to flesh to stone, and they're getting regenerated every other turn.
So. Yeah, I can see that would be pretty harsh. I'm not sure it'd work over here. The general consensus for comp over here is you'd have
to is ETC.
40 dudes max. So yeah. You'd still get them in, because your points aren't going to go over the 450 cap that they put on.
Right.
So it might work. 4 units of 40, 2 units of 40 Saurus Warriors, a unit 40 Temple Guard with a Slam Mage Priest in.
Yeah.
It could be quite nasty. But, yeah, I'm not worried about this Predatory Fighter thing. I think if you want to do a full Saurus, you've got a light or life, like you said. Life to keep them going.
Light, yeah.
If you want to
speed
smash
them
this.
Up.
I mean, one of the games I had, I cast the... yes, what's it called? Hang on a second.
The sixth spell of light, essentially. The one that makes them reroll all attacks, always strike first, and
No, it was High Magic, Hand of Glory.
Oh, okay.
I buffed the weapon skill up by 3.
Oh, God.
So that they were hitting
weapon skill 7.
3, and things were going to hit me back, and then it was like, yeah, I'm strength 5 with a halberd.
Were they always able to take halberds?
The Temple Guard have halberds.
Oh, okay. I was like, Saurus Warriors can take halberds now? That's nasty.
They can have a spear for free, which I would
be severely
tempted by now, I think.
Yeah, spears pretty much need to be free in every book.
I think they'll get a bonus to calve in 9th, I think. You're going to see the...
Let's hope.
We can hope, because it's just so boring, everyone playing super defense, isn't it?
Well, if Perry wasn't so retardedly awesome... Sorry. Perry wasn't absolutely brilliantly awesome, and if spears weren't so dumb, except on a few units, Saurus being actually one of them, then there's just no competition there.
Mm.
So.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you got Parry with spears, just to try and make everyone go out and buy loads of spears for the dudes to convert their army up.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, they're still solid. Like I say, they didn't do me injustice. They fought to the death, pretty much. They only ran away when they got one rank left and they broke steadfast. So, you know,
right.
Under those instances, anyone's going to run off. But they never went berserker. Oh, I'm going to charge this. Oh, I've got to get over there. And one of the games was against Orcs. So I was slightly concerned I'd end up redirected in that game. But he didn't do it. He came really forward with trolls, and I just went, screw it, charge.
Yeah.
Straight in versus the trolls, and I was cheap. I must have been causing 7 or 8 wounds on the trolls every turn. But after regens... It was two. At the end, I blasted the hell out of him with magic and killed all but 3 trolls. But yeah, that was a pretty grim game for me.
But the 3 trolls there holding all those lovely points.
Well, yeah.
Or is that part of the comp over there as well? Still ETC style?
We vary the comp. They'd broken from the slam. The slam charged in and broke them.
Ah, okay.
And but they rallied, and then I shot them with magic, and they just sat there. So yeah, after those particular units, there's another major change. Really, is that you can give poison to skink cohorts.
Oh.
Now I'm not sure I agree with this or not, because
skink cohorts are essentially like the units of skinks that are not skirmishers. Yes.
The units of skinks that can have a Croxagore in them, yeah, them.
Okay, because I've barely ever been able to see them, even in the previous edition. Maybe one or two Croxes.
Before the new book, you couldn't strike the Croxagores in the second rank because they'd taken it out in the FAQ.
Right.
Now, because he's got Great Reach and he can attack you, you can attack him back.
Interesting. So. That being said, I never wanted to attack the Croxagars because it was so much easier just to beat on skinks until all the skinks were dead anyway, and the amount of combat resolution you can make off of that was enough to usually just beat them in combat.
Yeah, but...
Like, skinks were a problem in that unit, not a benefit.
I agree that that is the case, but they will not do
But now they're strength 6, right?
It's just strength 7 with a great weapon.
Oh, Jesus. So that's nasty.
Is, yeah, it is backer book, actually. The book before this, they used to be...
Strength 7.
Yeah, strength 7. So it is pretty nasty. And the mixed unit rule is not going to help you at all with Ratugs because it basically doesn't exist anymore. The new thing is that it's just a combined unit of infantry. And that if you are in base contact with a skink, you can stomp or thunderstomp him. But it can never be transferred over to the Croxigo should you run out of skinks. So I don't think they've helped anyone. Because they haven't explained anything about how the unit should be formed. Or so yeah, if you're like Ratugus, I think again, I'm sorry guys, but no, there's nothing here to point away to the future.
Yeah, I think that implies already that again... Well, who wrote the book?
The guy who wrote the Skaven book, I think.
Oh, God. No, you... No, don't say
wait,
that.
Wait for it. Where's his name? Jeremy Vetok.
Son of a bitch! That fucking asshole, he did it again. He just assumes that people transfer the old rules into the new book, and it doesn't work like that, you...
To be fair, he has fixed a lot of Wizardman problems.
I'm sure he has, but you know... Like, same stupid mistake. It's the reason Rat-Ogres are so problematic is because he says nothing about how to form them up. And now he's done it again!
Well, hopefully, now it's a consistent problem. It'll get FAQ.
I swear to God, if I ever see that man, I'm going to slap him silly and just be like, look at what you have done.
Right. So, yeah, on to special. They've got swarms, which are cheap now. 35 points a base. You've got to take 2 bases. They've got a special attack, which means when they're in combat...
Everyone else gets poison.
There you go, you read my mind.
Yeah, those actually sound pretty good now.
Because I've been talking a bit about list description and everything, and someone was going, buy poison for everything! You know, big unit of skink cohorts with poison! And I was like, yeah, but by the time you get to 35 skinks, you've got 2 bases of swarms. So why not just have the swarms and put them where you need them?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, the swarms are going to be the cheap redirector units you want anyway in your army. The exact equivalent of our Skaven rat darts.
Kind of.
Yeah, not exact equivalent, but they're there as cheap drops, you know, as redirectors, and now with that poison thing, they can definitely support a big combat by just jumping in and giving your units poison.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of synergy bonuses. I mean, we'll come back to that, but it's going to be mentioned later again. So chameleon skinks not really changed. They're still leadership 5 because that's the new thing for skinks, leadership 5.
Right.
You're just going to have to suck it up. I still think they're good. In the game I did today, I marched up to a war machine, I shot once with 5, and he took it off.
I mean, yeah, they're basically they're still basically gutter runners, they're just lower leadership now.
The really annoying thing with them now is because you're 5, march block is a real pain in the ass.
Okay.
Which limits how far you can move. And so if you've got a smart opponent, it'll limit you. It'll stay in march block range, and then it'll set up a wall. So that if you fail...
Between you, yeah.
He's got you. That is the real danger now that you've got to watch out for. But,
and chameleon shinks are not cheap. So.
No, they're not. But, you know, there's a tip for all the rats out there. If you want to stop these bad boys from annoying you, set up that kill zone. Block them in and kill them.
Yep.
Cold ones are now cheaper, but the spear is an optional upgrade.
You mean the cavalry? Cold one cavalry?
Yeah, the cold one cavalry is cheaper.
Spear is a free upgrade?
No, the spear isn't free, but even with the spear, they're slightly cheaper than they currently are.
That's not bad.
So you're looking at a 2-up save and a parry.
Oh, they don't come with spears automatically anymore.
No. But saying that, the cold ones are the old cold ones. We're going back to 6th edition cold ones. So it's 2 attacks from the cold ones. So 5 of these dudes is 20 attacks.
Oh!
And the snap. Unit is that cheap now. I'm tempted.
And they're... how many slaves worth of points are we talking here? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, even that's not permitted by certain people.
How many?
I'll a message afterwards for you. But okay. They're cheaper than what they were, right, is the main thing. It's definitely not out of the region of redirect costs for some races, put it that way.
I don't think, real fast though, I don't think you can parry from cavalry. I think you can only parry if you're infantry.
I've no idea. It's just the first thing that came to mind when looking at them.
Yeah, that would...
Oh my god. The better and the cheaper.
Because, yeah, we need more of those.
Yeah, yeah. So, on to special then. Still in special, should I say. You got Croxigore, pretty much the same. Strength 7. They've got Predatory Fighter. So these are pretty solid. I'm not sure they're worth it. To be honest, they're better than the Ratogas. They're probably coming in cheaper than Ratogas or on par to Ratogas. They're going to dish out the pain, that's for certain. But they have the same flaw as Ratogas. They have rubbish weapon skill. So Hand of Glory cast on them to get D3 weapon skill would be awesome.
Oh, that would definitely help.
Making them weapon skill 6 would just be fantastic. And don't forget the lore attribute for these guys is you cast a spell, you can swap it to another deck of your choice.
So
you can if you went lore master on high, you've got all 8 spells. You choose whatever spell that you hate the most, you think's rubbish. You throw 6 dice at it on turn 1, you get rid of it. You get Miasma. You can take your enemy's unit down D3 weapon skill. You can use Hand of Glory to put yours up D3 weapon skill. Yeah, there's some potential combat buff insanity.
So wait, are you allowed to just pick a spell out of a different lore, or are you just...
You have to generate it, but you can still default to the default spell, so...
Oh.
Shadow of Miasma, Beasts, Wild
gotcha.
Form...
So all the so base, all the signature spells are essentially right there for the taking.
Yeah, you basically just generate the spell all over again.
Interesting.
And it's that is exactly what happens if you lose your spell for whatever reason. You just generate it all over again. So if you miscast and lose your spell, if it is Inch Wizard, steals your spell, that's it. You just regenerate your spells.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah. They are the master wizards.
So, but yeah, combine that with Crocs, and that definitely sounds... it doesn't sound too fun, but I'm still... least worried about Crocs than anything else, at least from a Skaven perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
They still suffer. I mean, if they're mixed with Skinks, they're going to suffer from Skink soakage. And if they're on their own, as rare as that would be, if they even can be on their own, I'd have to see the book to make sure that's the case.
Yeah, they could before.
They could be on their own?
Yeah, you can have a unit before. But the problem was, it's great weapons, isn't it? They go last.
So yeah.
And they were only strength 6, which wasn't quite enough to get through most cavalry, I don't think. But strength 7, that's a lot better for beating cavalry up.
And they're still, like, only tough 5, I want to say?
Same as before, toughness 4.
Toughness 4, yeah.
Nothing new, we're not breaking any rules. Right, so then you've got Pterodons. Pretty much the same. They've gone up in points. All skinks now have scaly skin, which you should have already. So
impressive.
They've gone up in points because of that, really. They're monstrous cavalry, as pointed out by you.
Yeah.
The normal pterodons still have the rocks, and they can upgrade...
Well, to clarify real fast, they're monstrous cavalry and the BRB. I don't know what the new Lizardman book states, so...
It says monstrous cavalry.
Okay.
And flying cavalry.
Yes, so they're literally Pegasus Knights. They can stomp, and that's about the extent of what that means.
Does that mean, so, because they're cavalry, that they get +1 to their armor save?
They get +1 to their armor save because they're still cavalry. They can stomp because they're monstrous cavalry. Let's see, what else can they particularly do? They also, I mean, they get the toughness transfers over if the Pterodon's toughness is higher than the Skink's, which I'm going to assume it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So they use the highest toughness, which is going to be the Pterodon's, and that should be about it. Those are the three primary benefits.
Yeah.
So.
Well, for a very negligible cost, they can upgrade to fire attacks. Changes the weapon, but fire attacks, and they still drop rocks.
Gotcha.
So
did the rocks get fire attacks?
No, no.
Okay.
No, they're replacing the javelins with fire leech bolts.
Interesting.
Yeah. So my next one, probably my favorite, Stegodon. I hated how rubbish it was before.
Oh, how have they changed the Steggy?
Combined stat line, so no more killing the skinks and being an ass. toughness 6, 5 wounds. It pretty much hasn't changed. D6 plus 1 impact hits. It's all gravy. It has some upgrade options. You can give it devastating charge.
Oh wow, that finally came into play somewhere.
Yeah, and you can.
It's about time.
You can give it another upgrade, which gives it D3 wounds rule for the impact hits.
D3 wounds.
Yeah.
On the impacts. So that actually wouldn't be too bad. Especially since usually what you end up seeing Stegons try to charge against is either character night buses. Most of the times that I've seen Stegies, they try to charge into something that's not going to be able to kill them. Which is going to be because they essentially become a tying up unit. So they'll charge into either knight units or they'll charge into a monster of some type and slow it down a lot.
Well, today I ran into Yeah, I couldn't get it into where I wanted it to be honest. So I ended up using Warp Between Worlds to make it ethereal and make it move in the magic phase. Because the guy flanked me with his Chicken Warrior Empire.
Oh, God.
So the Chicken Warriors were coming in. So I made the Stegodon ethereal and shoved it in the way and went, fight that. I then gave it regen. It got charged by the Chicken Warriors, and every turn it killed the Chicken Warrior.
Oh, God.
And with a minor buffage, I'd say, I gave it like a wound back a turn. It slowly just stomped on the Chicken Warriors. So yeah, that was awesome, in my opinion. The Stegodons...
So they've definitely come up, which is good.
The Stegodons overperformed.
Still about the same points-wise?
Still about the same points-wise. I can't remember what the old points were. What were the old points?
Like I knew the general idea. Like the Saurus, again, this is my problem for playing Points Denial all the time, is that all I cared about was the general idea. So like monsters,
you cut
expensive.
Out then. I lost all that. I only got up to when you said points wise.
Oh, I was saying I didn't remember I never really knew the old points either. Like I never paid attention to the points values of Lizardmen. Because whenever I played against them, I was playing Points Denial, so all I cared about was, you know, which units are worth the most, so I know which ones to pick out and single out.
Let me just look it up then. Upgraded, it'll cost what it did before.
Okay. Right. So they're about the same.
So it is cheaper. It doesn't need the upgrades.
Gotcha. So it got a buff, a pretty good buff.
It came down in points, and you can't target the skinks anymore. So, yeah, it was awesome. I mean, against the Empire, I charged one into a unit of knights. Butchered the knights, and the other one stood in front of Chicken Warriors and went, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, and killed them. I took two of them, so I had one each flank. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Alright, okay, just thought I'd cut off on. I also had two Bastilodons, these are the new things.
Yeah, the Stegodon look at these.
I'm really mixed about. They're cheap, dirt cheap. And for that reason alone, I think you can afford to put them in your list. They can buff you to give you plus one initiative.
Which is something Lizardmen would definitely like to have. Even if it's just initiative 3, that's still a lot better.
Well, on the second game, I ended up in a mega combat. I had the Temple Guard in the front, with a Bastilodon in the front. And then, later on, I ended up with a Bastillon on his flank and a Stegodon on his flank. And it was making the Skinks initiative 5. So the Skinks were going, kill him, kill him. But I had 3 Thunderstomps. So, yeah.
That, oh, God, that yeah.
That was awesome. And he flanked the Bastillodon. And this is... Don't flank a Bastillodon, because there's no point. It actually makes it easier for it to kill you.
Oh, it's got some... I'm going to assume right there that based on that sentence, it means that it has some attack that is everything in base contact.
No, it attacks with its tail. It's big.
Oh!
So if you're in the rear, it gets +1 to hit you.
Gotcha.
It also says that you get no bonuses for rear or flank charge.
Against a...
Bastillodon.
Bastillodon.
And he did that. He rear and flank charged me with...
Now, how does that initiative bonus work? Is it just, like, is it the similar to how the poison attacks worked on the jungle swarms?
No.
Where it's just the combat, or it's a bubble effect?
It's bubble.
Okay.
There's a small bubble.
Like 6 inches? 12 yeah. inches?
Six
inches. That's not too bad. And, it's basically the unit on your left and right.
Well, I'd actually got them all in because it was such a massive monster mash.
Well, yeah. You got a lot of monsters you can fit more.
It was pretty horrendous, really, when you think about it that way, because it meant the Stegodon was striking at the same time as his troops. Yeah. That's just something for you to think about.
So, Skaven, FYI, tip to everyone right now. You don't own a Doomwheel? Buy one.
Yeah, the Bastillodon's definitely going to be a prime target for it.
It's still, I'm going to assume, armor and toughness-wise, about the same as a Steg. Probably 5 wounds.
It's slightly weaker than a Steg. Take one off the stats for a Steg, but it's got armored defense, so it's got a 2-up armor save.
Okay.
So it is pretty solid. But there's an alternative version. I mean, that's the light buff one. That has a random magic spell as well, which...
Gotcha.
Which is cast on a 3-up. If you roll a 1, 2, or 3, it's basically rubbish.
But gotcha.
If you roll a 6, it's like being hit by a Mangler Squig.
Ow! God. Ow. That's nice. Why not?
I threw one dice at it today.
I was going to say, help hits will not like that.
He went, yeah, it's only whatever you roll, so roll it. And I rolled it, and I took out 3 knights, I think. Because I think it's fairly
good.
But there's an alternate version to that. You can
the one that spits out the snakes.
Yeah, you can take the snake pit.
Mm-hmm.
Snake pit generates snakes, funnily enough.
You can
add to an existing jungle swarm within 6 inches.
So by add, you mean like add another...
Yes, on a 4-up, another... basically, you'll add a base to a jungle swarm.
Uh-huh. What if there are no jungle swarms? Can you just pop one out of nowhere?
No, it says add.
Okay.
So I'm presuming add to means only add to.
Yes, I would agree with that.
It also does a bubble explosion of snakes. Everyone within a random range takes like a weak breath weapon attack. Strength 2.
Not too bad.
So,
is this one cheaper than the other other Steggy?
It's completely free to swap between the best of them. It's really... I
would still probably think that you're going to see more Bastillodons just based on that information.
Yeah, well... So. They were just so hard to shift, and because I'd swapped to a life spell and I'd got a posture as well, I kept it alive. I mean, on turn 5 or something, everyone went, that Bastillodon's dead, that's buffing everything. And then I went regeneration, apothecary, and I took it from 1 wound back to its full wounds. And proceeded to monster mash the unit that we were in combat with. I mean, we'd screwed up some of the rules. We weren't quite playing it right, you know. I should have broken from combat and died a turn or two before. But then I remembered I'd got something I'd not used, and it took out an entire rank. So, There's some potential. I do think Bastillodons, they're going to be the problem unit. Because they're cheap, so you don't really want to shoot at them.
Right.
But you need.
So wait,
to
they're really them. That cheap?
They cost as much as 5 cold bonds. There you go. I'll be cryptic. In the new points, which no one knows.
I'm just going to throw out a random number here and say that they're probably about 100 and something around those lines.
More than that. But
yeah. Okay. Yeah. A bit more than that. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But they're still, that's still pretty cheap.
Yeah.
That you, yeah. Ooh.
You don't want to, you can't light arms fire them is the thing. The 2-up armor save, you can't light arms fire them.
Well, the thing, yeah, I was going to say, but the thing is, what other targets in the Legitimate Army are you going to want to shoot at with your prime heavy hitter ranged fire?
Well, respectively, like, you could have three Stegodons, three Bastillodons, and you could have a Carnosaur with a hero on it.
Yeah, the Carnosaur with the hero is obviously going to be your prime target there.
Yeah. So.
But yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to remember that they're not exactly slow.
Oh.
They can come screaming across the battlefield, and if anything's lagging behind, you can just use the ethereal walking thing just to go...
And to catch them up, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. I thought they were done with moving things in the magic phase.
No.
It's just movement, though, right? No free charges, no silly return to vampires.
No return to vampires. You just get to move either... Basically, if you cast it big, you move as a flyer.
Okay, well, ooh, damn.
Yeah.
I can see some potential there. I see a lot of potential there.
Yeah, I can as well. Just stick something on the flank and then go zap and then run it straight into the enemy's artillery.
Yeah. Yep. Any yep, number right. of different.
So,
speaking of the Carnosaur, I heard that is a rare now, I think, yeah?
No.
As well as a mount, or also a special.
No.
Oh, no?
Wishlisting at its best. The Carnosaur yeah. is a dual kit, which can make a lord or hero, or a troglodon.
Right.
Troglodon is rare, and you'll never see one.
No, how bad did this turn out?
Well, let's finish special first, and then we'll get.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got Ripperdactyls, which are the ones to worry about, I think. Everyone's moaned that they've got Frenzy, and because they've got Frenzy, they're going to be rubbish.
Frenzy, baby. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't disagree more. They've got horrendous rules, basically. They can mark a unit. So if you take three units of four of these, which you can quite easily.
They do 16 to 24 killing blow attacks.
Well, they can do up to 7 attacks each if they roll right.
Ooh.
And if it's the marked units they're attacking, it doesn't have to be the same marked unit that unit's attached to. Just a marked unit. Reroll failed hits, killing blow. And they're initiative 3, so it's quite...
But they're kind of on the slow side, but they're still going to be, you know, depending on what they're hitting.
Yeah. Just killing blow. If you mark a unit of cav, 5 or 10.
I was going to say, yeah, pick knights here, guys. If you're smart, you'll pick a unit of knights, and you'll charge them. And they're most knights in pretty much every army that isn't chaos are initiative 3 or less.
Yep.
So, yeah, enjoy yourself.
I mean, there's definitely some horrendous potential there. If you mark a unit of clan rats...
I think Bretonians may have to have a new favorite hate... Well, I think Bretonians are going to be more unhappy about new lizardmen than they are going to be unhappy about us now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a lot here that could really upset Bretonians, I think. Definitely.
To be fair, there's a lot of things in every book that can upset Bretonians. They're just kind of really on the bottom side now. They need some help.
Well,
they're all right. You can work with them, but they definitely get kicked around a lot.
Yeah, but the problem is this book has got a bit of everything.
Right.
But I do think you have to take a bit of everything to make it work. So there's going to be no real optimization going on.
Right.
Core's probably going to stay skinks. So that they've got the fast, shoot, annoy, whatever. and then it's probably going to be special where all the funky stuff happens. But there's so many units in special. There's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 special units.
9 choices? Damn.
It's where everything went. They just went, where should we put it? I don't know. It's kind of special. Put it in special. So, yeah. But you could see horrendous numbers. I'm expecting on the ETC front to see maximum numbers of monsters comped.
Right.
And maximum number of flyers comped. Because you could take 3 units of Pterodons, 3 units of Ripodons, and put heroes on flyers, not attached to unit, use them as cheap redirects or whatever. And, yeah, man, just a world of pain. Just a world of, I'm not going to fight you, I'm just going to redirect you over here while my guys shoot you to death.
Right.
Which is just a return to old lizard men, really, isn't it? and especially with the Pterodon upgrade to fire attacks. I mean, okay, my Pterodon shoot you first. Yay, now you've got no regen.
Yep, and then the rest of it will all hit.
Yeah,
and there's
kiss
plenty
your trolls
of that.
Goodbye. So yeah, there's loads, yeah. But yeah, on to rare, then you've got your ancient Stegodon, pretty much the same as a Stegodon.
Yeah. We're all I figured those hadn't changed.
Gets the same upgrades that a Stegodon can have. Can have Engine of God without a Skink Chief. Then you've got your Salamanders and your Razordons. The Flamer Template's strength 4, not strength 5. Still got Instapanic. So, yeah.
So they're weaker than a Warp Fire Thrower now. They're not quite as super powerful, but
they can
but
still move 6
still,
and fire.
Yeah, that's going to be where it hurts.
And then you've got this infamous Troglodon, which is a walking disaster. it's fast. It's got a lot of wounds. It's got an average save, so it's not going to survive against lots and lots of firepower.
No regen, no ward save of any type, just regular armor and lots of wounds.
Well, you've got that much easy access to life, but my thing is that you're going
to... Does it have more than 6 wounds?
No.
No.
So, yeah.
Then there's already a problem. Life helps, but not if you can still get one shot by a cannon, potentially. And I know that may sound like doomsaying right there, and it's like, oh my god, it's got 6 wounds, therefore... Or, you know... some amount of wounds, therefore if a cannon hits it, it's got that, you know, it can one shot it in one turn potentially, therefore it's bad. No, I'm not saying that, guys. I'm just saying that, you know, with no ward save or no regen save of any type, the problem is going to be it's going to get hit by a cannon and it's going to take like 4 wounds potentially, like an average of 3 or 4, and 2 cannons alone can take it down in one turn, and depending on how many points this is,
it's more than a
Steggy.
No, less than a Steggy, more than a Bastillodon, which is why it sucks.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So what does it do, though, besides be really fast?
It spits poison.
Okay.
It has poison attacks. Its stats are iffy at best. What it can do, and this is why people may take it, but if they do, I think you're an idiot. it's basically a massive buff. It can do a one-time only Primal Roar.
Gotcha.
Which makes Primal Fighter better for everyone else.
So Primal Fighter was the essentially the Saurus buff that gave them the roll of a 6. They got an extra attack in the front rank.
Yes.
So I'm assuming this is going to do something like... This is me as attempting to magically guess. It makes it on a 5 or on a 4 plus or something like that,
yeah,
instead of just a 6.
It's like your psychic, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, but it is massive. It's going to be like a third of your air points. So that's how expensive it is, and it sucks ass.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You can't take one of those as like a...
Gutter Runners is just going to shoot it down.
You can't take it as a character mount or anything?
Nope.
Yeah.
Like I said, can't see anyone ever fielding it. I can see people building it, painting it, and then going, oh, the model looks pretty, but it's crap.
I can see people fielding it, but not in a competitive sense, unless, well, maybe. I mean, if you'd have to... That Primal Roar thing, does it just hit everyone automatically, or is it a bubble effect again?
It's a bubble.
Is it a big bubble?
Twice the size of the Basilisk bubble.
Okay, so semi-big bubble. I guess if I were to attempt to use it competitively, the best thing I would come up with is probably something like the list I told you about earlier. Like, you got three big-ass units of Stegodons, or not Stegodons, I'm sorry. three
big units of Stegodons.
Oh god, Monstrous Cavalry on a whole new level now. Three big units of Saurus Warriors, you know, you get them all into combat, and you're fighting, and you pull that thing out and run it up just really fast. And roar and then run away.
Yeah, but
maybe go flank hunting after that, and that's about all.
Where the hell are you going to hide it? Is the question. It's a huge model.
Oh well, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a chariot base, yeah.
Yeah, it's chariot base. Let me find a picture so we can see what it looks like against other things. But
I've seen it. I know what it looks like. I did see the GW stuff.
Yeah, no. You can easily see it over a Bastillodon. So,
oh yeah,
it is big.
Behind buildings or behind other stuff that you've got.
Yeah, your only real option is to stick it behind a Stegodon.
Is the Bastillodon? Oh, I didn't see the base for that. I think that one was also a chariot base.
Yeah, they're all pretty
low. Yeah, nothing fancy. No silly. Oh, half chariot base sized chicken knights.
No. Monsters on chariot bases, and monstrous beasts, and then flying calf, and then that's it. Normal infantry. It's
gotcha.
It's pretty solid. I think it's pretty balanced. The new book, to be honest.
So, other than that, which has some very limited use due to its, I can get shot very, very fast and die to weak shooting, because I'm gonna assume its armor save is not as spiffy as the Bastillodon.
It has the armor save of a Doomwheel.
Ouch.
It's tougher than a Bastillodon. No, it's not. It's stronger than a Bastillodon.
I was going to say, it's probably not. It sounds like the Bastillodon may have a few less wounds, but that better armor save is going to make all the difference.
One less room on the Bastillodon.
Oh god!
So you know.
Yeah, that is a pretty big difference. But
massive.
So little armor means that yeah, it can be picked apart by even light shooting. Like, hey guys, who are so supportive of Giselle Fire, here's your opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. Just take its entire armor save off and just punch holes in it. But to be honest, if you got Giselles, you're going to want to see the Bastillodons and the Stegodons.
Yeah, because that's where that armor save modifier is going to really apply. So,
yeah,
but Doomwheel's going to be happy, because even a Strength 4 hit will take that thing apart.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That's got the same save as a Stegodon, but the Stegodon is tough as hell.
Right, and this thing is, I'm guessing, tough 5, tough 6...
Well, it's tough, but it doesn't do anything in combat. It's a support unit. So if the Stegodon charges you and it's got the if it's got devastating charge and D3 impact, it's gonna
hurt. Whereas if this charges you, I mean, it's still a monster, so it's still gonna stomp, right?
It's still gonna stomp, but it's gonna be alive to do it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Is gonna be my argument. It's not gonna last long in combat. It's not stubborn, you know. Stegodons are stubborn. They always have been. So
it does look like a really cool model. It's a shame that it had to.
Well, it's walk fever, isn't it? You get nice looking things, and they suck.
Of course. Well, I mean, to be fair, at least we don't have to have that problem with monkey looking Night Runners.
Yeah. Well, like. Everything's just a little more toned, I think, so everything just costs a bit more. Like I said earlier, the old generally just gone up 200 points. Really. I mean, depending on how skink heavy it is. If it was a total skink list, then...
So...
It's pretty... The
Carnosaur on the other side of things is still... that can be ridden by a hero dude now, though, right?
Yeah.
Not just the big dude.
Yeah, and it's got upgrade options as well now. It's almost the same cost as a Stegodon.
Gotcha.
It can have a Swift Stride, and it can have a blood draw, which is basically 3d6 on terror.
Oh, that's nice.
So, yeah.
Or that has potential, I guess.
Oh, yeah, well, depends who you're fighting, but yeah, I don't think it's that optimal, really. You want to kill them rather than panic them, but such is these things. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of potential. I see the skinks got a lot more attention. I mean, I suppose that is probably because they got the new unit, didn't they? They got the Ripperdactyle flyers.
Right.
Which are just evil if you go up against a marked unit. If you don't, they're pretty much average troops. But they are in issue 3 and issue 4, so they're going to be striking at the same time as Skaven, and then just after Skaven. They've got reasonable armor for flying cav, they've got a stomp. You know, I think to say the rubbish, like everyone is doing online, and going, oh my god, they're frenzied, you never control them. I think if you had four,
yeah, but that's, but they're flying, so the benefit, yeah, of the difference between frenzy and, so, and this is a lesson for everyone else, not necessarily Mr. Skaven then. So essentially, the reason frenzy baiting works is because usually the unit is really slow, so you're gonna turn it, and it's gonna overrun, and then it's gonna have to take an entire turn to turn around.
Exactly.
And then it comes back, and then maybe it charges. So you essentially remove it from the game with one unit once, and that's all it takes. That's why frenzy baiting is so effective. With the flying unit with frenzy, it's not going to work like that, because you're going to hit the unit, you may be forced to turn and go in some awkward direction, but it's flying cavalry, guys. Flying cavalry, free reforms, they're just going to turn around in one turn and move. So you're not getting that extra turn that you really want. And they will be just fine. Plus, if they're really lucky, they'll even just overrun off the board. So then you won't be able to kill them.
There's one potential thing. I don't know how viable this is because I'm not up there with cav. But the fast cav, aren't they? So
yes,
they move before the game starts, and you get first turn. They can't charge anyway, can they?
No, they won't be able to charge. They get Vanguard. They're literally going to be just like Pegasus Knights.
Yeah, so you'll Vanguard. Frenzy won't be a problem if you get turn one.
Right.
And then you plop yourself right next to whatever you want to charge next turn.
Yeah, and then, ouch, you fail your frenzy test. But hey, look, hey, buddy. Yeah, it's I don't think frenzy on flying units is ever that big of a deal. It's going to be more for any ground unit. That's a big, big block usually. So, but yeah, I can see some flying circus-esque type armies running around, maybe mixed in with just Monster Mash and Flying Circus, which would be interesting because I would definitely like to shake up some current trends. Like, I'm tired of the Monsters Cavalry trend a little bit. Like, I'm not unhappy about it, because it's definitely working in Skaven's favor so far, with the amount of multi-wound and high armor-reducing weapons that we have available to us.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, the only problem with these for us, really, is it's the initiative values, isn't it? They're initiative 3 and 4, so...
Yeah, so we won't actually get to hit them.
More or less simultaneous. I would not want to fight them with Plague Monks.
No.
Because they match your Plague Monks and they run in and they get the maximum attacks they can. Jesus, that's just going to be horrendous.
Yeah, my best bet for them would, I mean, you got range shooting guys, there's some targets. We have plenty of options here. I could see, I mean, depending on how well the new Lizardmen's do, we could possibly see some re-emerging SAD style lists. So
you can't really do it over here. You're generally limited to one of each war machine, so one cannon, one catapult, one doom wheel, and then depending on the tournament comp, depends on the war machines. So there's the potential to get the war machines in, you know, as attachments, but.
I'm just going to say it again. You Europeans and your comp!
I've got to admit that the ETC is doing my nutting with some of the stupid things they've come out with recently, but...
I would like to see what they do to the Lizardmen book. That would be interesting. I don't... Well,
they've done nothing to the High Elves. which really astounded me.
This is what I'm waiting for very patiently, is because we'll notice that if we go to the GW FAQ page, and we will see that there is no high FAQ. And in fact, it's not there yet. And the last update was in April, and the last update before that was in, I want to say, October? So I want to say they're doing it approximately every 6 months. So my bet is now that Lizardmen's are out, they're going to probably do the next drop of FAQs, which of course will include Skaven 1.8.
Right. I can actually shed some light on this one. Supposedly, every time a book comes out, 6 weeks after the book's released, that is the FAQ drop zone.
Ah, well, that would mean... Well, High Elves came out, what? that would be the problem, then. When did High Elves come out? It's been a while now, because they came out before the Capital City Carnage this year, and that was in July. That was July 6th, I think. Yes.
Who knows?
So, and they came out slightly before that. So if it is every 6 weeks, then it should be literally like tomorrow or something.
Yeah, I think it'd be 6 weeks from the Lizardman book. I think we've passed the threshold for the High Elves. They just didn't do it, did they?
Right.
I think that they think there's nothing wrong with the High Elves, even though... Right,
let's not divert and discuss on High Elf wrongness.
Yeah. But, I think you're fairly safe. I mean, I've said this before because people have said to me, you've got to email in. If you want them to resolve questions and problems, you've got to batter them with it now, else they don't care. I think they're doing a logometer. Unless enough people complain about the same thing, it's not even going to be considered.
Oh, I only have, I think, what was it? I think I have 3 that I want answered now, or maybe just 2 now. I think we addressed one of them finally. But at least the 2 I can think off the top of my head are, is when Squirt says you can place the template anywhere, what does anywhere mean? Does it mean anywhere including into combat or anywhere outside of combat? Because anywhere is a dumb word.
No, it'll be anywhere within the restrictions, so you can put it in combat when it's slaves, but not.
Right, and that's how I've been playing it, but I just like to make sure it's just like, for stupid people, here we go.
I've actually got a question for you then, regarding the Empire.
Go for it.
Are there halflings in the Empire book?
No. I can definitely say 100% there are no halflings in the Empire book.
Well, then there might be a hint that we're going to get an halfling army from the fluff in the Lizardmen book.
Oh?
It mentions the pure races and how they're made by the Slan and promoted by the Slan. They basically made a wall chart, went, we like you, everyone else die. And it says, with the coming of chaos, that in a rush, what's it say? It says, let me just find the sentence. And seemingly in haste, finally the halflings and ogres were risen up from lesser things that roamed the world. We've had an ogre book. So, that's like an ending statement before it goes on to fluff and more fluff. But generally, it's the same fluff. They explained why Illustria is such a badass place to live. And that's
gotcha.
They didn't want to be bothered. It's magic that's making everyone die who goes to Illustria. It's basically prolonged exposure to magic. It's not poison at all or anything like that.
Gotcha.
But it doesn't affect the Lizardmen because they want to be left alone. And there's also, they've worked a bit more on the angle of masters without revealing themselves. So basically, even though they're not present throughout the old world, in their state of trance, they can see everywhere and everything.
Gotcha.
And they monitored the attacks from the north, and it mentions several Empire engagements where the Lizardmen basically hex the demons from Illustria, enabling the Empire to push them back. And there's just little fluffy things like that.
Interesting.
There's some nice banter where it's they make it clear that the skinks have become very territorial and as they're left to run things, to basically they go back to the SLAN to report, and they've been blowing things, they're exaggerating it greatly to get them to do it, because the SLAN don't care. Unless it's critical, they don't care.
Right.
But the Skinks have got, you know, they've come into Lustria, this is our land. So they're blowing things out of proportion to get the authority to go out and kill invaders, basically. Because from the sounds of it, they didn't want to do anything with the elves. They weren't bothered. So
right.
That's quite interesting way they've done that there. But that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because they're tasked with rebuilding everything. And then these raiders come in, smash a load of stuff up. And the SLAN doesn't want to do anything about it. You could kind of see them getting peed off, can't you?
Yeah, I would definitely not appreciate that.
Yeah, so they start to... They're a bit more humanized, I think. They definitely exaggerate the situation and go, we need to get rid of these people because they're going to attack the temple or X, Y, and Z. And then the SLAN goes, all right, do it.
Right.
So, yeah, they're still consulted, but it's very much of the SLAN are in resting, and it's all because of what happened with Chaos. But it's a pretty good read. I just think it's interesting that they've hinted at halflings. I wasn't sure if they existed in the Empire book or something.
They don't. The best I can see, and I'm still, like, I'd be very skeptical about Games Workshop pumping out any new army book ever.
Well, I like, was, but then they did Ogres.
Well, but Ogres already had a book. I mean, they were mostly Dogs of War, still kind of, but, I mean, they had their own book. Like, they've not re-released a Chaos Dwarf book, they've not re-released, like, Demons got their own thing, and that's the last time that a new army has been released for either system, really, in a long time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But, we'll see. I mean, maybe they will, and it would surprise me, that's for sure, but Games Workshop has been known to randomly go all over the place with what they want to do. I'm still, my worry is I'm still hearing this Ravening Horde style thing coming out when 9th edition hits, which is due soon. So
I'm not worried too much about that, because even if they do it...
No, if they do it, all that means to me is that, from a tournament standpoint, it means, yay, we'll get updates more often and faster, right?
I don't think it means that. I think it'll just override the current books. And then they'll start releasing books again.
Yeah.
I think that's what they'll do. Because that's a great way to up the cost of the big rulebook and make everyone buy the big rulebook.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because it's got every army in it.
Oh, I didn't consider that.
You see. You've got to look at things from a marketing perspective. I'm big on business.
Yeah, no. I don't like to remind myself that GW is still cheating people. Though I do like to remind myself that Warhammer is still considerably cheaper than a lot of other things, based on at least the way I value my money. So,
yeah, it's definitely cheaper than cocaine. So,
Oh, it's cheaper than is if I spend an average of, you know, way too much time playing video games, and I get maybe an average of an hour per dollar out of them, and I've spent maybe, what, $500 on Warhammer total at most? Like, yeah, at most. So, and I don't want to think about, I mean, every single Tuesday I go down and play like 3 games, at least. So, and then there's a tournament every fourth Sunday, a local tourney, and then there's the big tourney every year, and then there's a couple other big ones that, as soon as I find out some way to transport miniatures on the back of a motorcycle, I'll make that happen. But that's going to be tricky. And Silas will probably kill me for it, but, you know.
Why would Silas kill you for it?
Oh, Silas hates me for going faster than 70, but... I think he's
any particular reason for faster than 70, or is his bike just that rubbish?
Well, the speed limits in the U.S. are kind of lame. So, you know, like, most of the highways are about 65 is the speed limit. So 70 is considered average, but past that is when the cops should be chasing you, but they don't.
Yeah, well, that's just the same here, you know. Yeah. National's supposed to be 70, but if you drive at 70, you'll get beeped at. It's one of them. What the hell are you doing? Beep, beep.
But no, I hit 108 the other day. That was fun. That was crazy fun. I really want to go to like Germany and just go on the Autobahn.
Yeah, I'll say good things at your funeral.
Anyway, it's definitely getting off the topic of Warhammer now. Yeah. But yes.
Well, we've definitely covered the book. I don't think much will change. I think you can force a panic on skinks. Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to be off. So I'd not to worry about that too much.
Yeah, I see some definitely, like, I'm not going to try to predict the future and guess what types of, I'll just go ahead and say net lists that we're going to start seeing appear, because they always happen, always does. It'll take about a year for whatever crazy meta pops up to settle down into something that stays the same for pretty much everything. But I'm thinking we're going to see everything from mass skink armies still coming out and trying to do some wonky things. Like, and I mean the skink big blocks with Kroxigars mixed in with them. To monster mash, big monster lists that are still just soak up damage and don't die, similar to kind of like an ogre style list. And potentially a still heavy Saurus list. I mean, the old Lizardmen book still used a lot of mixed unit type formations. Like, you usually had like units of salamanders, you had units of skinks, you had units of chameleons, you had units of Saurus, you had temple guard, you had slan. Like, you had a little bit of everything in there. You didn't just have, you know, one particular style of thing going. So I and there's obviously a lot of opportunities for synergy based on what they've shown so far. So, which is good. I like synergy. It's a cool thing.
Well, armies are supposed to work and fight together cohesively, aren't they? It's one of the things. And you know, Lustria, you know, you're talking billions of years now they've been fighting chaos. So you'd think that the skinks and the lizardmen would be honed to just totally kick ass together.
Oh yeah, I agree. So, I mean, credit to Jeremy Vetok where it's due. He knows how to make army lists that are really well synergized together. Like, for the most part, there's very little in the Skaven book that doesn't work with something else in the Skaven book. There's very little in this new Lizardman book, as far as I can. It sounds that does not work well with something else in the same book. So
yeah, there's. I think you'll definitely see. Like, I think all core pretty much will be skinks.
Yeah.
That is generally going to be the way it's going to be. I think rather than the lots and lots of small units, I think you'll see units that are bigger so that they can stay in the leadership bubble.
So they can not, yeah.
So when they flee, they're in the leadership bubble. It's all about bubble issues, isn't it? And I think for your special, you're probably going to see code one blocks. I think 20 attacks from 5 dudes is horrendous, especially if you've been down in price and haven't lost anything and gained an attack. You'll have your pterodons picking on war machines. You'll have stegodons firing at stuff. I mean, I did a cracking one today. First turn at game, I took an enemy chariot off with a stegodon bolt thrower. It's like 6 to hit. Yeah, poison. Right, auto. No save. D3 wounds. Dead. Take it off.
Well played.
Ripidactyl, I think you will see hiding behind the general's unit. And then on turn 4, I think they will come screaming overhead and just obliterate stuff. I think they'll run into stuff that's marked. You'll not be able to target them because you've got so many other things to shoot at. And then they're just going to run into stuff. That's going to be your real dilemma. It's what do I shoot first? Can I kill it before it kills me?
Right. But that's where the luck of the game comes in to some degree. Like, there's no way to be 100% sure of, like, counter units, but just know, don't forget about what you're trying to do and trying to accomplish, and you should be fine. So
yeah, definitely. I always, like, when I'm starting new arms, like, I write down the battle plan, because you've got to keep your formations. So it's like Skaven, keep slaves up front.
Yep.
Lizardmen, it's going to be Arasim with skinks. Pick on the war machines. You narrow it down a bit. At which point, if it's going well, the flyers will just, they'll be unchallenged after turn 4. If you do it right,
yep, and then just let them go wild.
Able to do anything, And the salamanders, they've lost a point of strength. So what? They still cause panic when they wound you.
Yeah.
They still move and fire. You can still take units of one. So, yeah.
No, let alone taking units of one. Take two of those things and you just... They'll burn units fast. Strength 4 or strength 5, doesn't matter. Strength 4 will still burn units pretty fast.
Yeah, definitely. So. And I think the Razordons, I think they'll become more popular, definitely. There's a lot of people shunning them because they're not that good. It's only an artillery dice worth of attacks. But against MCAV, you know, the Salamander's only going to give you one hit with the Flamer. The Razordon's going to give you up to 10.
Gotcha.
And it's the same to wound. So it's, 10 attacks on a 9 wound unit from one Razordon is going to be quite nasty. So yeah, I think it's fairly well balanced. They've got a good range. They've kept the old stuff. They've kept it usable. They've screwed the Carnosaur, probably. He's just rubbish. he's not going to have the save, and he's going to be a hero. So as soon as you see him, you go, right, that is half your hero allocation. That is worth killing.
Gotcha.
So that is definitely it. That and the Troglodon. You could probably leave the Troglodon alone for a while. But your problem is, if you take the Troglodon, you've got to have the big units. If you've got the big units, you haven't got the little things to cover the Troglodon.
Right, or the big units for that matter.
Yeah, that's the thing. It starts to eat away massively, unlike...
It becomes a very Death Star-esque mentality, where you're focusing on doing one thing very well, and that problem, the problems with that mentality become very obvious very quickly once you start having to deal with, like, little skirmishers picking off guys, you know, guys getting around the flank, flyers getting around the flank. Basically, you're going to find that, in a list like that, which is going to rely very heavily on that Troglodon and or on characters within that type of, you know, those smaller big units, you know, they're going to be the first things targeted out. Like, Death Magic is going to come into play, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, well, so. Death Magic's going to, that'll just take it off. That's my analogy of that. Death Magic, take it off. Because that's probably the weakness of the monsters for the Lizardmen. The leadership is not awesome. Eh. It's on 3d6, so it doesn't have to be awesome. You just hang around in general, and you'll be fine. But that's all of the Lizardmen covered, pretty much. Like I say, there's not going to be much change, I don't think. You're just going to have to stick near the general wee skirmishes, or you're going to run off.
Yeah. And Skaven perspective of that is pretty much, in terms of fighting them, it seems, it's not going to be a huge difference. You might want to at least try to take advantage of the Saurus overrun, since it's not quite a frenzy bait, but because they don't have to charge, they just have to overrun.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If they've got the big Saurus box and they've got Razordons knocking around, doing an artillery dice worth of shots... You're soon going to frack all the chaff. I mean, I was like running the Stegodon up and having all the skinks throw the poison javelins at stuff.
Yeah, having chaff that survives will be a bit tricky. But regardless, you know, even if it's just a unit of slaves, like, you know, you got one of those 40 block mans of slaves, which, you know, it's a bit more expensive than a unit of chaff, but it's not going to be taken out by, you know, chaff killers right away. You throw that in front of it and turn it at an angle and send them in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Because there aren't going to be too many units of those. Like, they may be a little bit cheaper, but there's probably not cheap enough to where you can afford more than three at most, three big blocks. So
yeah, it's still
probably realistically
big point allocation. I mean, for effectiveness, the Ripper Dactyl Rider is definitely going to be
much better. Yeah,
it's going to be the fear. Three units of four of them would wreck a Skaven army.
Yeah, because they're going to get behind. They're going to target the war machines, your cannons, you know, those little units of cannon protectors everyone likes to take. Those won't do anything against. Yeah. Those what is the most useless of all the weapon teams that I dislike? It's the rattling gun.
The rattling gun would probably save you the most against these, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. As ironic as it sounds, but
well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's the change in the meta.
Yep, it does happen, and from time to time. So yeah, small units of, I mean, it just depends. It really depends on how effective they become and over the next couple weeks and what we see in what people take. Again, it takes a little bit of time for the meta to kind of settle back down to what they think is kind of the best thing to put forward. And then we basically have to determine whether or not it's worth changing something over that. This is assuming that that both armies are taking all comer lists.
Like, yeah. I mean,
it's always a weird thing that just happens.
With the move to MCAV, I think Rattling Guns probably coming back into the fray quite heavily.
They came back a little bit. That ballistic
Skin Warriors, Skull Crushers, and now Ripperdactyl.
Yeah, that's true.
That's three of the four.
Ripperdactyl are they two wounds or three?
Two wounds.
Two wounds. Yeah, they're Pegasus Knights. I said it once. I should know this.
they are pretty frail,
but they're still fast. Is the thing like
fast,
that's why
reasonably good initiative. Like I said, against knights, if you use your Toad Rage on the knight unit and get the extra attacks. And that re-rolling to hit and then killing blow, yeah, I think there's going
to
be...
As an alternative to Rattling Guns making a comeback, I say that Rat Ogres may be able to still make a comeback, because this is where they could be beneficial for once. You know, you got these guys who are Initiative 3, but really strong otherwise, but they're still probably not too high on the armor side of things, and they're definitely only similar in weapon skill, I'm going to say.
Same as a Rat Ogre for weapon skill, yeah. I don't know. You see, again, these are cheaper than Rat Ogres and have more attacks.
Yeah, but the killing blow won't apply here. So
no, but you've got to try and catch these things as well. They fly. So
yeah, that's true. That's very true.
That's your penultimate problem.
I am trying to think of like a saving point for Rat Ogre units. Like they're just really hard to find a good use for.
It just doesn't exist. There's had the heyday. The rules need rewriting. They need like a monster and handler rule to stop them from being retarded to start with.
I kind of agree. I kind of wish it was like the way the Saurus are now, where they can choose what they want to charge and they don't have to roll for frenzy checking that, but they still have to overrun, and I'd be fine with that, because you know the goal should be to get in the combat that you want to get into. That's the most controlling thing about frenzy.
Yep. Well, it's being a ground unit, isn't it? It's restrictive, and then no musicians, so you can't reform. And
yeah. There's a whole bunch of different reasons, but we will leave that for something else.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly reasonable look at the Risen Men. Like I say, pretty much stayed the same. Things have been amended to work better. Lower leadership for the Skinks, and a new unit which is just going to run in and rip things up.
It's the general goal that GW has been putting forward, which I like, which is they've been, instead of making the new power creep, they've been kind of sort of like, let's tone it down and make everything balanced and nice and happy. Now whether or not that's actually working is up to, you know, everyone here.
Well, Orcs and Goblins are winning tournaments now, so that shows...
Oh god!
The change in meta to big, heavily armored things that don't have many wounds, and
yeah,
then a fanatic just laughs at you as it runs straight through your face.
Yep, all sorts of different doohickeys are coming forward, and it's definitely, you get to watch. It's always fun to watch the meta shift from time to time. So
I've always hated orcs, dirty green things, I want exterminating. And we're the lizard men on this one, we must purge them. Purge them from the earth.
I still hold all my support for Skaven, so...
Well, I'm always going to be a massive Skaven enthusiast. It's just new book syndrome, innit? I've got all my races have had new books now, so that's it now. Next should be Skaven!
Yeah,
we will. Glory.
I have one request, Games Workshop. I'm crossing my fingers here. Do not let Jeremy Redtalk write the next book, okay? Can we do that? Please? Please?
Well, we'll see.
For Christmas and my birthday, for both, you know? No, no Jeremy Bad Talk. Can we just do that?
No Matt Ward either, please. Like, for the love of God. Say. Like, I know Jeremy Bad Talk, I give him some bad rep, but Matt Ward, obviously, the worst of the two. So, you know, just, most importantly, not Matt Ward, but also, if it's possible, can we get someone like, you know, oh, who do I actually like out of the GW authors?
Yeah, the guy who delivers your stuff?
Oh, God. I don't even, who wrote Empire? I think Empire was all right. In my opinion. So, whoever wrote Empire, I want him to write Skaven. Okay, cool. Sounds great.
Uber Empire.
I don't know. My book's wandering somewhere. I think it's packed away with the rest of my stuff right now. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, darn it. All right, well, if you're still listening, cheers.
Yeah, this has been exceptionally long, and I don't know when we actually started. So
about 10 minutes in, we've been talking for an hour and 26.
Yeah, so if you are still listening, we apologize for rambling.
I'll cut a little bit out, but not too much, because I want to get this stuff just online and then it's done. All right, cheers. See you, Matt.
Adios.